hopeful than anything more than I'm hoping from any one other individual. I mean, he's got a lot of what he does. His natural gifts are kind of a prototypical view of this team. He's got size, he can skate, and certainly got a, you know, pretty good offensive instinct with the shot. And here's the standard boring lines. I want him to play his game in our framework. So that's what I'm asking for everybody. You know, just keep the individual things that make you special. Just fly in formation, especially when we don't have the puck. And so any of those guys who haven't been here, they are behind a bit. Not physically. They haven't been in the locker room in between periods when we've been, you know, constantly kind of refining what we're trying to do. So there's some more room there that you give those guys coming in, because they haven't been. You know, we try to show them the video after and do all that other stuff, but I'll be patient with his routes and things like that and just keep teaching. And we're not teaching Evander or any of these other guys the game of hockey. We're just trying to teach them the way we're going to play it. So all the things that he does naturally within our framework. They're both capable of grinding one out that isn't easy for them, and they're both capable of just stellar performances and stealing a hockey game for you. We haven't seen a game of bad goaltending. We've seen good to spectacular in all their performances. They haven't come off that bench thinking the goalie was the difference in a negative way. So there's talk about the goaltending consistency here. I haven't seen it. I mean, not every game looks the same. Not every game's easy. But in terms of the quality of goaltending we've gotten here, it's been very consistent. You hope to. You would hope that you would. That means you got a guy rolling. But whichever way it goes, you know, whoever's standing between the pipes is the number one goaltender. But any team that plans to have success down the stretch and in the playoffs is going to have one guy get really hot. Now, I've done both. I've rode a guy real hard, and I've also used two goalies in the playoffs. So I wouldn't say it's game by game, but it's certainly whenever you get a sense of a direction a guy's going, you make a decision based on that direction. If a guy gets hot, you're going to ride him. And if a guy falters, I'm not talking about one game, or if he gets into a week and it's just not happening for him, then you won't wait too long to make a change.
Cindy, word was that it was inconsistent before you came, if you haven't seen it. You must have seen it from afar.
Yeah, you know what? I remember when Dominic Hasek left Buffalo and the complaints that came out of their goaltending wasn't good enough. And their goaltending was just like everybody else's, is what happened. It's what you've seen. So if your expectation, or if my expectation is that Andre or Al have to play like Anaheim and Chicago every night, that's just not going to happen. We want our goaltenders to play well enough that we give them the chance to be the difference, not by them standing by them. Just go out and play very well, and that we've played well enough in front of you that's good enough for us to win. And we've had that in every game. So I've got a little different view of that consistency. I don't take the guy's best game of the year and say, hey, you should play like that every night. That's not realistic. Over the body of work, ask yourself first, did the team give the goaltender a chance to be the difference in a game? And if the answer is yes, then start rating those games on consistency. And the work that I've seen, I saw, you know, Andre a lot more than Al. And I saw a lot more nights where I couldn't understand how he was able to make some of the saves that he made. But in the nights that's not there, that doesn't mean he's playing poorly. I mean, he may be playing very well. He's just not one of those unbelievable nights. You know, it's not a Latvian performance every night. We can't expect that from our goalies.
What's next? Wednesday rolls around, the 23-man restriction goes away. So in your coaching time, have you had a preference to only keep one or two extra guys around? Do you have a problem if there's four extra or five extra guys around?
Well, in the we ran 21 in Carolina for a long time, and never had to worry about the playoffs in Toronto, so I don't have a lot of I don't have a lot of experience with a team that didn't have a big budget in the playoff hunt. Fewer is easier to manage, but more can create some real good competition. Oh, absolutely. Right. So what are the differences from my point of view as a coach? You're not going to hang on to the mistakes as much. You're not going to coach. You'd be very careful about coaching mistakes. At the same time, you're making adjustments in game at times to, you know, who's going. And so you maybe, if you coach the team all year, you might be a little bit quicker on making changes in your lineup because you've seen things, you know, you've got a history of this has worked before, maybe I'll throw these two guys back together. I'd like to keep some consistency with the group and the lines, but more mentally, it is absolutely one game at a time without making that game the critical piece to your season, even though I'm going to get asked that question. I know I am. You know, is this the 2 points? But so are the five other teams, six other teams that are in this hunt. We're all going to go through the exact same emotional process, and that's the key to this.
Do you know what to expect? Do you have kind of a feeling of what to expect from your team tomorrow night? We have a different perspective because we've been around for 3 years. You've been around for a little while. So do you think you know what you're going to see tomorrow night?
Yeah, I'm hopeful. Yeah, I mean, I think there are, you know, there's two or three areas that I would expect us to be very good at. The only concern I have is with the execution, and that's a function of the break, how the passing are, how the ice is, all those things, how smooth we are. But I would say, and I've seen teams, and maybe I'd categorize Winnipeg as one of those teams, on the nights that maybe in the past, and that's not even fair. When I say past, I'm not talking about this year. We'll take it back even further. When execution wasn't there for Atlanta, they lost those games. Because and when it was there, they looked spectacular. You know, they were snapping it around. Our execution shouldn't be at the end of the day, the deciding factor whether we win that hockey game or not. And I'm talking mostly about how we move the puck, how simple things are.
So what you're saying, I think, is that you have the fundamental things you want them to be good at everything you can control. Execution you can't.
Right. How a guy's hands feel, and some night how your legs are, you get varying degrees of that over the course of the season. What it is that we're supposed to do well, I have a high expectation that we'll be able to do that well. We've covered that. There are some things that we've worked on absolutely every day in practice, with the exception of one, and how we handle our defensive zone is one of them. Now, so in every game that we've played, we've made mistakes, and our goaltenders covered them up. We try to make fewer and fewer mistakes every game. So I certainly. Then I would be surprised if I had to answer questions after on the bench, you know, whose guy was that? We should be there, at least in that part of the ice, that zone. Puck goes in our net, we should have a pretty good understanding of what happened.
Do you have a feeling on or a thought on having a whack of home games here right under the bridge?
I love playing at home here. Yeah. We need to be darn good at home. This is one of our advantages, if it's that. Is there a little bit more pressure playing at home? Sure, but that's a good thing. This is the National Hockey League. You know, that pressure's there. And this is a great place to play. We would prefer to play 82 of them at home. The guys, they've had enough time off away from each other. And so they don't mind spending time here at home together now. Sometimes they... You know, sometimes home's a problem because everybody takes off right away and they never spend any time, and it's great to get them on the road and get them together. They're interacting enough at home, and I think in this block, a little less travel, all the energy in the game, conserve your energy. This is going to be a really intense, physically exhausting time for every team. The fact that we can get a couple weeks in here before we have to go back out on the road, let's take it as a positive and use it. Yeah, I don't see, I haven't seen any nerves in their game. and I honestly, from behind that bench, it never crosses my mind I'm putting a young guy out of the ice. I'm thinking, you know, when Scheife's going over the boards, I'm thinking we got a chance to score here. They're both really into it. I've always found more young guys over time kind of thought, well, I got 16 years. You know, I got lots of time for this to turn out to be a good thing. And I don't get that sense from either. They're into practice. They're trying to get better. They're having fun. They don't move around our locker room. And again, I'm not in there all the time. As kids, as outliers, as guys that are just on the fringe that maybe don't feel a part. I do think, and they should have a really clear understanding of how important they are right now, today, at their skill level, at their age, to this team and our success. They would feel like, you know, they're in the middle of that room, not on the outside of it at all.
Well, there are some coaches that break down.
I'm sorry, I missed the very first part of that.
There are some coaches that break down the season in terms of 5-game sections, 10-game sections, sort of thing.
Right.
Is that something that you do or that you looked at over the break?
I think you have a tendency to do that when you start to feel that groundhog effect roll into your room. This is all new to me and in some ways news to the guys, so I don't feel that. Or if you have sometimes if you look at you got a really difficult stretch of games where you say this is a playoff series, because four and three against these teams would be either a good road trip or something like that. But, you know, I'm not going to do any of that in this stretch, because I won't look at a 5-game block and say, hey, 3-2 is good enough. Why would we limit ourselves? We're going to play them all. And we're thinking, if you ask me, we're going 5-0. That's how we're playing the first game, but we're only going to play the first one. Yeah, we're not going to do any of that for the last. This thing is going to happen. We're going to get on a roll. It's going to happen so fast that we're going to play it, leave it there, and move on to the next. Yeah.
They played such a team game, and underdog.
Yep.
Can you get any of that to rub off? It's too different.
Oh, everybody's personality rubs off in that room, right? How you walk into the room, how you present yourself, it rubs off. And I'm really hopeful that positive experience is great for him. And then it's his play, and the quality of his play rubs off on the success of our team. And it should be. I mean, they just factor it all in. It's not his first year. You know, there's only a certain number of games left to play when you hit 35. You just a difficult start to the season for everybody. He's a veteran guy. Coaching change is tough because you've lost games and it's a tough situation. And he gets to go back, and this is a huge deal for his country. He's also can appreciate it from a completely different perspective than all the young guys on that team. He can really enjoy that, and he and Timo Solani understand they've been such a big part of Finnish hockey. And I want him to look at, you know, the end of the season kind of in the same way. I mean, whether he plays this year or 5 more years, there's a real finite number of opportunities he's going to get to go through this again. And I'm hopeful that he enjoys every one of it. That being said, back to the first question. I'm hoping the kids look at it the exact same way. This is the best time until you get to the playoffs, and then that's the best time. But this is it. Pressure's on. It's neck and neck, and it's down the stretch. So there's no groundhog feeling here. You know, like there are no dog days left for our team. Right.
Have you been around long enough to answer that question?
I like our group. I'm comfortable with our group. That being said, we're a young team, and you want your coach to say that. You want your coach to say, I like this team, and then you want your general manager to say, I appreciate you saying that. This is my plan, and this is where this team's going. And Kevin is very clear on what he wants his group to look like now and as we get a little bit older. So I'm will give my input, but I really believe my job is always coach those 20 guys and not look for, you know, my job is to make that group better, not to be handing a shopping list to somehow make my, because you never know. I mean, the third line that went to the Stanley Cup final, Yaroslav Svoboda, played 10 games in the NHL before he got to us. Marty Jelena, who was closing out the end of his career, and the late Joe Osacek, who the year prior had been playing for the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds. And they scored huge overtime goals. Marty Jelinek scored the overtime winner against Toronto to win the conference final. So if I was given a shopping list, it would have been, I need a third line, you know? And all three of those guys were, you know, Biaro had an overtime tip against New Jersey. I mean, they were the difference in a lot of ways. They were the one line for 2 months that was really good. So you be careful what you wish for. Love what you have.